Blog Talk Radio.
He didn't ask me what the topic was. Hey, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Yes, and we are prepared. It is Thursday, August the 13th, 7 o'clock, and let me play this. Take a break real quick. Are you playing?
Welcome to the call-in talk show that is all about wine, with special guest Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery, located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Winery details and event information will be announced during the show. So sit back, relax, and join us with a cool glass of world-class wine produced right here in Florida. Your comments, questions, and dialogue are welcome. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call for free by using the Click to Talk button on our show page, or send questions and comments in our chat room. Registration on Blog Talk Radio is free and only takes a minute. All other listeners may call us by phone. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Tampa listeners may call our local number by dialing area code 813-990-0741. That's 813-990-0741. Finally, if you have Skype, call the show by contacting ChicoDog1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Call us anytime during this hour-long program. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida Estates Winery, here is Ron.
There he is.
Oh, big busload tonight. That's nice. That's
yes. But he gets a glass of wine.
Yes, I've got mine. I've got a Chardonnay tonight.
Oh, which one?
I've got a Chardonnay, a Kern Creek Chardonnay, actually, a California Chardonnay.
Interesting.
This is a 2001. It is. I've been keeping it actually colder than it should be, so it's aged quite well. It's this particular Kern Creek, the Creek Chardonnay has oak. It has second fermentation, malolactic fermentation. You can detect the butteriness in it. It's got a little bit of acid, not too bad though. As it's aged, it's balanced quite well, and so. Decided to open up a Kern Creek Chardonnay tonight.
Kern Creek, is that K-E-A-R-N or K-E?
C-U-R-R-E-N.
Yeah, Kern. It would have to be. C-U-R-R?
A-N.
A-N.
C-U-R-R-A-N.
I guess. Kern. Okay. It sounds like a TV reporter's name. Okay.
Yeah. Sonoma. Sonoma Valley. Wow. Or Sonoma area, California.
Okay, cool.
They make a very nice Chardonnay. Kern Creek makes a real nice Chardonnay. I've always enjoyed it. And they have the potential days a little bit. And I like that oaky butteriness every once in a while in the Chardonnays, although we do, the Chardonnay I make out there, the one we offer, is an un-oak Chardonnay. This one is an oak Chardonnay. And
is that the Proprietor's Reserve Chateau?
Chateau Soleil Chardonnay is our un-oak Chardonnay.
Okay.
Very nice. It's selling well now. It's for some reason, it had to settle in the bottle, but it's doing quite well now. It's a really nice tasting Chardonnay. I really like our Chardonnay. But again, I like the variety, and so I got myself a very oak buttery Chardonnay to enjoy tonight during the program.
Very good. Okay. If anybody out there listening to us would like to call in, add your 2 cents worth or your $1.50s worth, whichever you have, definitely give us a call at area code 646-727-3235. That'll get you on the switchboard, 646-727-3235, and we'll be able to put you on the air. You can talk to Ron, talk to me, talk to whoever. Give a shout out to, you know, we want to keep it all about wine on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And this is Ron speaking to you on the other line there from Florida Estates Winery at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is just north of us, not too far from here. Very good location, and we've got thunder going around out here. So we built a new pavilion for the guests, for our bus passengers and everything, and so
great.
They're enjoying that. Yeah, it's an all metal pavilion, so they need to keep their heads.
Keep their heads down.
we didn't think about the lightning part.
Yeah, well, hey, yeah.
So what's our topic? Are we continuing again?
We're continuing grape varieties tonight.
Grape varieties. Very good.
We went through some, we started with the whites last week, and we're going to continue on with the whites this week. So, again, just as a quick review, we started with the grape varieties, major white grape varieties, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris. Again, for those of you who weren't listening, Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, same grape. Gewürztraminer, basically a German grape, but grown other places. Riesling, Chenin Blanc, and White Zinfandel and Rouennais. These are probably your most common ones in white grapes that you'll find. And we talked about some other lesser-known white varieties that are used around the world in different areas and all that. So we will continue on our white varieties tonight.
Excellent.
And help you with pronunciation of them and tell you a little bit about them and all that.
Okay.
Now also, Mike mentioned call in. You can also IM us, instant message us. We can communicate that way. And we both have the ability to do that while we're talking, too, we discovered. So
yes.
So you won't disturb us that way if you want to IM us there.
Yep. Or chat in our chat room. There's that's on Blog Talk Radio. There's all kinds of different ways to get in touch with us. And, so I guess we get started. Last week, because of all the information, I mean, we had to split this up. That was quite a bit. So are we getting into the reds today? Is that what you're saying?
We'll start on the reds, and hopefully we might work our way through the reds. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of information, a lot of things about the grapes. And, I love this because I do a lot of research to be sure I got some good information to pass out. I'm discovering all sorts of neat little things about a lot of these grapes and stuff.
And so are we.
and the origins and stuff like that. And it's always fun to share this information. So
cool. Okay.
So we'll continue on with the white grape varietals. Now, again, as another review, varietal, that is the name of a grape. We are talking about the grapes that are actually made into the wines. You can have we have a plantation white at work, which a plantation white is a blend. It is not a type of grape. It is a blend of grapes, so therefore basically a generic name, white. You can have any number of types of wines that are just named generically, which could mean that it can have a blend of anything in it. It doesn't have to be any particular grape. But if you use a particular grape, if you use a type of grape, it is then the wine is named after that grape. It's called a varietal, which means that it is named after the grape. By law in the United States, it is required to have 75% of that grape in the wine to be called that particular grape. So, again, a Chardonnay has to have 75% Chardonnay grape in it to be called a Chardonnay. Most of the time, wineries will name their wines after grapes and include 100% of that grape. If they don't, usually they do have the percentage of blending listed on it somewhere or something. So you can pretty much count on it if it says it is a Chardonnay and doesn't say anything else. Most of the time it's going to be 100%, but by law, 75%. So grape varietals, whites. I just went through the quick review of some of the major ones. Let's go on a little bit more closer evaluation of some of the whites here. Next one is the Muscadet. Muscadet. This is spelled M-U-S-C-A-D-E-T. T is silent, Muscadet. This is nothing to do with the muscadine, the muscats, any of those. Muscadet is a grape itself. It is a white grape growing mostly in the French region, Loire Valley. The Atlantic end of the Loire Valley, the northwest part of the country, makes for a zesty, crisp white wine that is full of citrus flavors, fruitiness flavors, a hint of mineral. It can, when aged in oak and left with its yeast cells on there, that gets a toastiness, a complexity that makes for a real nice balanced wine that's dry enough, pairing well with shellfish and seafood dishes like that. It's not really known that well here in America. The Muscadet grape is usually grown in France, and you find it more in France and in Europe than you will here in the States. But it's a lot like a Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, that style, although it's not as not as fruity smelling as the Pinot Grigio and Pinot Gris. Also, it's the acid and the flavors remind you of something of a Sauvignon Blanc. The Sauvignon Blanc to me always gives a slight grassiness to it. Sauvignon Blancs are just classic grassy type aromas and flavors, and it doesn't give you that. It's a very nice wine. If you do find a Muscadet wine, again, Muscadet, Muscadet wine, it's well worth the venture to pick one up and try it. The Muscat. This is, people confuse the Muscat and the Muscadine, Muscadine, the Muscat, or Muscat, it's pronounced a couple of different ways, is a grape family. It is not a particular grape. It's comprised of hundreds of different varieties that range from white to almost black. It's grown in the temperate climates all around the world, Italy, France, Greece, Spain, Australia, California. You can find plantings of the grape and the family of grape just about everywhere. It's been around for centuries and probably one of the oldest known grape families that man is familiar with. It's usually has a musky, slight musky note to the flavor, but it on some of them. But there's the Muscat grape, probably best known for its grape aromas and flavors. It's like popping a grape in your mouth and tasting it. The Muscat usually gives you quite often that taste of tasting a green grape in the flavors and aromas. It makes for great sparkling wine, the Muscat family, the Muscat grapes. They can also be used as fortified wines, making heavy blended with brandies and stuff and higher alcohol wines. It is the Muscat grape family, the grape known as the Muscat Blanc Petit Grains, which means white muscat with little berries, is probably regarded as the best muscat grape in the family. It's varies from a white to a pink color, sometimes even to a dark reddish brown, and it is noted for the fortified muscat grapes that are southern Rhone area. The muscat grape family is the basis for the sparkling Aste Spumantes and the Muscat d'Asti wines of Italy. It is also made into the fragrant sweet wines of Italy's Alto Adige or Adige region. And wherever it's grown, whatever type of Muscat family, Muscat grape you use, usually you can find a perfumey, slight muskiness to it with ripe grape characteristics, just a very pleasant wine. Again, they come in all sorts of varieties. The Muscat grape is not part of the Muscadine family. The Muscadine family is a completely different family of grapes, completely it's part of the Labrusca family, Vitis Labrusca, as opposed to the Muscat, which is the Vitis vinifera family. That's calls not for the show, I don't believe, though. Pinot Blanc. Pinot Blanc. P-I-N-O. Pinot Blanc. B-L-A-N-C. Pinot Blanc. This is a white grape varietal that is the descendant of the Pinot Noir and the Pinot Gris. The grape grows well in the cooler climates of Alsace. Gives you a apple, pear type flavors and aromas, tropical fruit. usually pretty low in acid and usually not oak, usually fermented, kept in a light fruity stall and bottled that way. The Prosecco, Prosecco, Prosecco. This is grown in the eastern part of Italy's Veneto region. Usually, it's the grapes used to make light sparkling wines are the Spumante, which is a full sparkling wine. It uses the Prosecco grape. It's probably most noted for the sparkling wines. It can be made into a dry. In fact, quite often you find it in a dry, but the sparkling wines is really what most people can associate with the Prosecco grape. The Ribolla, R-I-B-O-L-L-A. The full name is the Ribolla Gialla, and it's grown in Italy's Friuli Venezia Gialla region, and it is in Slovenia. It's known as the Ribolla, spelled R-E-B-U-L-A, and in France it's the Ribolla, R-O-B-O-L-A. Again, we talked about this last week, and I bring it up again, how once you cross a border, the exact same grape all of a sudden is given a different name. It's the same thing, but it's given a different name and referred to as something completely different. And you know, and we look at that and we chuckle about that over there, and you know, we just saw three countries, three different names. But we do it here in the States too. I think the best example for that is in the Midwest. Arkansas grows a Cynthiana grape. The Cynthiana is very popular. It's been around for a long time. Very cold, hardy grape, good yielding grape and all that. You get out of Arkansas and cross over the border into Missouri, and they grow a Norton grape, which is the same characteristics and all that as Cynthiana, and it is the same grape. Once you cross over the border, Missouri doesn't call it the Cynthiana. They call it the Norton, whereas Arkansas refers to the same grape as the Cynthiana. They say the Cynthiana was the original name to it, but then the argument is that, well, maybe not, and Cynthiana was a different grape. But through genetic testing, they're finding that they are the same grape, although it's still being battled, from what I understand, if it really is the same grape. I believe it is, but, you know, who knows? They're going to have to do some serious genetic research on it and find out. But back to the Ribolla. The Ribolla is thought to be a native of the Italian region, but they think it goes back to Greek origins, finding that a lot of grapes in Italy, Spain, even France come from Greek origins centuries ago. The Ribolla is a variety that produces a dry, crisp, citrusy flavor wine that usually is medium-bodied and not real deeply colored, a lighter yellowish pale straw, yellowish color. The Roussan, R-O-U-S-S-A-N-N-E. The Roussan grape thrives in the southern Rhone region, but it's usually not released as a varietal. The Roussan is usually a blending grape. The grape itself is comes out with a zesty aromas and taste, a lot of fruitiness, but it's blended a lot with the Marsan grape to the Roussan is blended with Marsan. Boy, that's a difficult to understand. To lessen the characteristics and to add to each other to come out with a good blend that goes great with chicken dishes, fowl of different types. Shrub. I think it's shrub. S-C-H-E-U-R-E-B-E. This is actually the most widely grown grape in Germany's Rheinhausen and Rheinland-Pfalz regions. This grape is a cross between a Riesling and a Sylvaner. It was created by botanists back in the early 1900s by the name of George Sauer. And Raub means vine in German, so he took his last name, added his last name in vine. Is probably one of the better crossings and better genetic crossings of grapes that you will find. Actually, it's planted all over in these regions of Germany. It has to be fully ripe, though, and because of the in Germany, the potential of having early season storms in different areas, they have to be careful where they plant it, because if they plant it in areas that are too far north, they could lose the grape or not get it fully ripe, which will lose a lot of the characteristics of it. Semillon, S-E-M-I-L-L-O-N, Semillon. But I think most people, I say that because I am familiar with it, so I really probably shouldn't take that assumption. Semillon is a very popular grape. It's planted throughout the world. You can find Semillon plantings in Argentina, Australia, France, Chile, South Africa, United States, Australia. I said Australia. It's very easy to grow. It's used as a blending wine a lot. By itself, it's just sort of a nondescript wine. If you like a white, light, white, pleasant, easy drinking wine, then come in and buy our Plantation White. But if you don't want to do that, then the Semillon is another good example of that. That'll give you a nice, easy drinking white wine that is not overpowering, that's not going to make you shudder. It's just a pleasant wine. It's blended a lot with the Sauvignon Blanc. And when you start blending the Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc, you get yourself a very nice wine. It tends to take away the grassiness from the Sauvignon Blanc and add a little bit of the acidity that the Sauvignon Blanc tends to lack back into it. The Semillon ages well in oak, and when it does, it tends to bring out some very good texture and very good mouthfeel, but it still lacks the aromas. That's why the Sauvignon Blanc also balances very well with it, because Sauvignon Blanc will tend to bring up some of that, some of the aromas out of the Sauvignon Blanc. Grown quite strong, quite heavily in the Bordeaux region of France. The Bordeaux region of France makes Sauternes. The Sauternes are some of the sweetest wines in the world. They're very, very high sugar content. They are Botrytis grapes, Botrytis cinerea, which is a mold that shrivels the grapes. I explained this in a previous program, but just, you know, lightly for those of you who didn't hear it, it's a mold that gets in the grapes, and it sucks out the moisture and leaves the sugar content in the grape, so it makes for a very, very sweet grape. And the Semillon is very susceptible to the Botrytis cinerea mold, and so when it does that, it tends to increase the sugar levels and the acids in it, and the Bordeaux region makes the Sauternes from this. A very rich, honey, concentrated wine that is just has absolutely gorgeous. They're very expensive too. Sauternes are quite expensive. I've had Sauternes. Sauternes and ice wines are about the same sweetness level, but to me, a Sauternes seems I want to say thicker, if that is a description that anyone can understand. The ice wines tend to be lighter, sweet, but lighter, not as heavy, not as mouth-filling as the Sauternes are. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm being coached. It could be dense. Dense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, might be a term that would better describe it there, too. My engineer. The Semillon sweet wine, so make great desserts for themselves. They are really a very pleasant wine. The Sauternes are just beautiful wines. Again, they're expensive, though. I've had very few Sauternes in my life because of the price. It's not like they're not worth it. They are. They're very worth it. It's just that if I was going to spend that money, I tend to always pick myself up an ice wine as opposed to a Sauternes. So, next one, Tocque Friulano. That's spelled T-O-C-A-I, Tocque Friulano, F-R-I-U-L-A-N-O. Ooh. This is grown in the Friulano region of Italy. The grapes are usually pruned back, and the yields are held down so that it can produce a more elegant, full-bodied wine. I talked about this too, that when you start pruning your grapes down, you start limiting the number of grapes that a grape vine produces. It tends to put more energy into the ones that are left on the vine simply because it wants to save its babies. That is, its future generation, and so it puts this energy into whatever's there. And if you cut it down from 1,000 to 100, then the 100's going to get much more attention than 1,000 would. So this is the reason we're trimming it down. And this, the Tocque Friulano, takes very well to severe pruning. The Tocque Friulano is no relation to the Tocque d'Alsace. This is the names are very close, but the Tocque d'Alsace is a Pinot Gris. And the Tocque, the Hungary, famous wines from Hungary, the Tocque wines from Hungary, again, some very sweet wines, are not part of the Tocque Friulano grape. It is a different grape also. Torrontes, I think it is. T-O-R-R-O-N-T-E-S, Torrontes. This is a wine that's used quite often in Uruguay. It is thought to be related to the white wines of Spain, and considering that Spain really did settle a lot of the South American continent, you can understand why grapes from Spain have been transported over to in South America a lot. The wines from Torrontes seems to have a lot of grapey fruit flavors to it, hints of flowers, spices, nice balance of acids and flavors and stuff. I have had an opportunity to have one that I remember, and it must have stood out because I do remember it. Trebbiano, T-R-E-B-B-I-A-N-O, Trebbiano. This is a very widely planted grape. It's planted extensively throughout Italy, just about everywhere. And a lot in Spain. The Trebbiano grape is a very prolific grape. It grows really quite well. It is often blended with other varieties that have more of a dominant characteristics of things you want to bring out. The Trebbiano will blend quite well with just a lot of other different things. It originally came from central Italy, but it spread throughout the country and across the borders into France. And it is the white variety known in France as the Ugni Blanc. Again, once you cross the border, you change the name. And in Italy, it's extensively grown. It's really, like I say, it's so popular in France, it's hard to find, or in Italy, I'm sorry, it's so popular in Italy that it is hard to find a bottle of Italian white wine that doesn't have some Trebbiano blended in it. It's used with just about every type of wine there. It grows so well and it blends so well. It is just one of those wines that is great for blending. The Verdejo, Berdejo, Verdejo. Grown in Spain's Rueda region more than anywhere else. They think it's indigenous to that region. It's cultivated in other areas around there, but the Verdejo produces a full-bodied, rich, nutty flavor. Rueda Superior must contain at least 60% of the Verdejo, and the very best has to contain 100% of the grape, again, because of the Spanish laws. I've covered those in the past when I was talking about Spain, DOCs and stuff like that in Spain. The Verdejo is I want to compare it to a Chardonnay, but not really. A Chardonnay tends to be more oaked than anything, but the Verdejo has give you more of a nutty flavor, and that's really, really the best way to just this the nuttiness of the flavor. The next one, Vernaccia di San Gimignano. Gimignano, boy, that one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Vernaccia. Vernaccia, D-D-I, San, S-A-N, Gimignano, G-I-M-I-G-N-A-N-O. And again, I apologize for all of you Italian-speaking and Spanish-speaking people out there. I am not Italian, nor am I Spanish, and I don't really know how to pronounce these. I do the best I can, but I apologize if I butcher them. Vernaccia is grown in Italy's Tuscany region, and around the town of San Gimignano, so that's where it's got its name.
Mm-hmm.
They trace it back to the 13th century, and again, the origins are thought to be Greek. This grape produces a variety of different styles. It's used for just anything from a golden color, rich, full-bodied, to a more light, paler wine that goes with just real light appetizers and foods. A big variety of this, but grown quite extensively in the Tuscany region of Italy. Verdicchio. Verdiccio, Verdicchio. This is grown in the Italian Marches region, and it's been cultivated there since early 14th century. The name Verde, V-E-R-D-E, means green, referring to the color of a skin. The grapes give a yellow-green skin, which in the wine, it gives sort of a greenish hue, which would be interesting. You see a light, crisp, dry wine with good aromas and flavors. This is the Verdicchio wines from the DOC region of the Verdicchio di Castelli di Jesus regions of Trempiano and Malvasia. Verdicchio is. I've had a Verdicchio. If I remember correctly, California does grow that grape also because I think it's been used as blends here. And I can't quote what wineries or something, but I can almost guarantee that I've seen that used as a blend in California wines. Time for a drink of wine since I was saying that. Vermentino. Vermentino, V-E-R-M-E-N-T-I-N-O, Vermentino. It's under a lot of cultivation on the on Spain on the Mediterranean side, growing all up and down the Mediterranean side. Also, very strongly planted and grown in the Corsica and Sardinia islands off Spain. And also a lot of smaller islands down there. A light, fruity white wine. it comes out with. And then Sarela, Sarel-LO, Sarela. This is grown in Spain's Catalonia region. Excuse me. And it's one of the three main varieties used in the Spanish sparkling wines called the Cava, C-A-V-A. Medium, low-quality grape. Usually used as a blend because it doesn't give much characteristics itself. But it is widely planted in those areas because it does grow quite well from the influence of the heat and all that off the Mediterranean. And that is our white wines.
Wow.
Now we're going to go on to some reds here. And we may not finish our reds tonight because there's quite a few reds there too. So we may extend this into a third week of grape variety.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Which is okay. I mean, it's always fun to talk about these. Major red varieties, Cabernet Sauvignon. This is probably the better known grape grown around the world. Cabernet, the T is silent, C-A-B-E-R-N-E-T, Sauvignon, S-A-U-V-I-G-N-O-N. It is the king. This the Cabernet Sauvignon grape is grown just about everywhere. The Bordeaux region, Margaux, Saint-Julien, Saint-Emilion, Gravis, California, Napa, Alexander Valley's Central Valley, Washington State, Columbia Valley is quite well known. Australia, Argentina, Italy, the Super Tuscans coming out of Italy, Cabernet Sauvignon, Chile, just about everywhere. And while I'm speaking of Cabernet Sauvignon is, it grows in areas that have the right amount of warm weather and the right amount of cool nights. But because of global warming, and whether you agree or disagree that we're having global warming or whatever, this is not a political statement. It's just the fact that it is warming up in some of the wine-growing regions. Wine grapes need a certain period of time to grow. They need to put out their buds. They need to develop those. They need to get their grapes growing. They need to get the grapes big enough, and then they're picked at the end of the season. They need the cool nights to concentrate sugar into the fruit. They need the warm days to get the sun and help them grow. Because it is getting warmer and warmer further north of the equator, these growing regions are now extending their periods of growth, and they're becoming warmer in the summer, and the nights are becoming a little bit warmer, and it's throwing off the balance. It is, and I've read a couple of articles, and it's predicted that by another 40 years or so, by 2050, Napa Valley will not be growing the premium grapes we're growing now. If we continue on the global warming as we are now, the next Napa Valley is going to be in Oregon because of the growing seasons that the grapes need and because of the climate and weather that they need. So Cabernet Sauvignon grows very well in all the regions I just mentioned, but that doesn't mean that it will continue to do so as well. And a lot of these other grapes that I've spoke of over the last couple of weeks and the reds I'm going into will, we could be seeing other varieties pop up in Napa and use as blends and stuff like that if the global warming continues at the predicted rate that they're saying that by 2050 we could be seeing a complete change in how grapes are planted in different regions. So I'm not trying to get on a soapbox, I'm just trying to educate here a little bit. Cabernet Sauvignon come in all sorts of styles. You can make a Cabernet Sauvignon a light, fruity, easy drinking wine filled with lots of fresh aromas and fresh flavors, and just a bright, fruity wine that is just a nice, easy, pleasant wine. You get them that's a little bit more intense fruit, riper tannins. Medium-bodied, the tannins are more noticeable in the tongue. The tannins, again, the dryness. Whenever I speak of tannins, think of tea before you add any ice or sweetener to it, that bite you get. That's a good way to think of tannins. More of an elegant style, medium to full bodied with, complex fruit flavors. Tannins are a little bit more pronounced, but not overpowering. And then you've got the highly concentrated big Cabernets. These are the ones that are full of fruit flavors, lots of tannins. You will get a coffee, chocolate, tobacco, earthiness, herbs, even a tar type taste and aroma to these things. These are the ones that usually are aged for quite a few years. You put the bottle away before you consider opening it to let all these flavors and all that come to the right spot so that they can just give you that that fantastic taste and everything all together there. So Cabernets can be made in all sorts of different styles. I mentioned some of the aromas of Cabernets. Cabernets, again, can give you a variety of aromas. Black currant is really a very common one that you tend to find in Cabernet. Blackberry, plum, raisin. I've never been one to pick out raisininess in a Cabernet. I do pick up a pepperiness, tobacco, coffee, chocolatey type aromas, which are in Cabernet. I find those quite well, but I've never been able to find the raisins. If it's oak age, you're going to pick up smoke, vanilla, and vanilla is pronounced. That's one of your most common oak aromas. Spiciness, pepperiness. The flavors will give you the same as the aromas. It will start jumping out in the blackberry, blackcurrant, plumminess, give you the peppery, the coffee, chocolate. I love Cabernet Sauvignons. I really do. Those are one of my favorite wines, and it's I like all styles, but I always tend to love ones that are just this big complex wine that you snap your fingers and it's so strong it walks across the room and pours itself into your glass. Those are just exciting to drink every once in a while. They are the one of the main grapes grown in the Bordeaux region. It thrives quite well in the gravelly soils in the Gravis, Margaux, Saint Julien. Used a lot in the. It's one of the classic grapes used in the Beaujolais region, or in the Beaujolais region. Along with Pinot Noir. The Cabernet Sauvignon, it's just about everywhere. People are always asking about Cabernets. Every state in the nation makes a winery. I collect wines from every state in the nation. The wine I have from Alaska is a Cabernet Sauvignon. They wanted to put the wine together, and they got a Cabernet Sauvignon out of California and for Alaska Cabernet. So it's just a classic grape. I am a fan of Cabernet Sauvignon. I wonder if it has a Facebook page. It probably does.
Probably. Everything
does. Merlot. M-E-R-L-O-T. Pronounced Merlot. Merlot is the wine of choice now. Everyone has tried Merlots. Everyone loves Merlots. Everyone drinks Merlots. Some people just don't find a Merlot to their liking. They just haven't found one yet. I have people come into the winery and say, I just don't like Merlots. And my response is always the same. So you've had every Merlot in the whole wide world? And they said, well, no. I said, well, then you haven't found one that you like yet. It's not that you don't like them. You just haven't found the style that you like yet. And that's really is the way it is with Merlots. Merlots come in so many different styles, so many different ways. Merlots can be made to age for hundreds of years. Literally, there's some California Merlots and Merlots coming out of different countries that are so heavy, so complex, so much tannin, so much oak aging, all that. Those things can be put away and stored for years and years and years. And, our grandkids and great-grandkids would enjoy a wonderful bottle and thank us for leaving them those. And they make white Merlots at the other end of the spectrum. So Merlots can be made in so many different styles and so many different types of flavors and styles that it's just as many as Cabernet. Merlot is the second most popular wine in the world. Chardonnay being number one, Merlot being number two. Merlot is the most popular red grape in the United States. Again, the second most popular wine. Chardonnay is number one in the United States. Merlot is number two. Merlot, you will get a lot of the same complex flavor aromas and flavors that you get from a Cabernet. The chocolate, coffee, tobacco, herbiness, pepper, smoke, vanilla, same type of stuff. Merlot, though, more of a fruity Merlot, you will get more of a berry flavors, cherry, strawberry, raspberry, currant. Get away from the blackberries and the plum flavors you get in Cabernet. Merlots tend to be a little bit lighter in that area, in that aspect of it. Merlot is the most prominent grape in the Bordeaux region. It grows very well in the Pomerol and the Saint-Emilion regions of Bordeaux, California, Napa Valley, Alexander Valley again, Washington State, Argentina, Chile, just about everywhere you grow Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlots usually grow well. Its popularity has soared since the 90s. Merlots were used a lot for blending. For years and years, the Merlots were blended with Cabernets. The Cabernet style and the Cabernet was thought to be just a little bit too powerful, too strong. So Merlots were used as blends with Cabernets for many years to soften the cabs, to get away from that overwhelming harshness that some people find. But now they're making Merlots by themselves that are rivaling some Cabernets. The Chateau Petrus winery is in France is bringing out Merlots that are priced over $400 a bottle year after year. So they're getting some very very strong, very powerful Merlots. Great wine. You can always find a style of Merlot that will pair with just about anything you want. Many people thought that the movie Sideways, if any of you have ever seen that, thought the movie Sideways was going to hurt Merlot because the guy did not like Merlots and he continued to criticize it. Actually, it didn't phase it one way or the other. From people I've talked to in the business and all that said that for a few weeks after the movie came out, Merlot did drop a little bit in sales, but they said, on the other hand, the Pinot Noir jumped up, and that's what the guy liked in the movie was the Pinot Noir, and it jumped up. The Pinot Noir sales lowered the Merlot sales, but it balanced itself back out after a couple of 3 months. So Merlot wasn't too concerned about losing its status, and it continues to be a very powerful, very popular wine around the world. Pinot Noir. Spelled P-I-N-O-T, Pinot, N-O-I-R, Noir. This is the grape that, in the movie Sideways, that the character really loved. He found that the Pinot Noir was a great grape. Pinot Noir is a great wine. It makes for a wonderful grape. It, again, is grown throughout the world. Burgundy region of France, a lot of different areas in France grow it. Canaris, Russian River Valley in California, Willamette Valley in Oregon. The Poso Ropos region of California is growing some great Pinot Noirs now. Argentina is coming out with some phenomenal Pinot Noirs now. If you want to find yourself a Pinot Noir at a reasonable price, Argentina is the section to look in your stores. They are coming out with some phenomenal Pinot Noirs. Some California winemakers and French winemakers are going down and picking up land in Argentina. And, well, a few years ago, they planted the Pinot Noir grape, and it's becoming mature now, and they're making some wonderful wines coming out of there. The Pinot Noir often gives you a cherry, strawberry, raspberry, currant aromas. Again, that's the fruitiness of it. oak aging, the same as the Merlot and Cabs. It brings out the oakiness, the smoke, vanilla, spiciness, pepperiness. As the Pinot Noirs get very strong and complex, and you can have yourself a very complex Pinot Noir, you, again, come out with the chocolate, coffee, tobacco, earthiness, herbiness. It's just a lot of these grapes that they do take time with and work with tend to give you the same types of aromas and flavors and taste. Underlying, I don't want to say that the Pinot Noir doesn't taste like a Cab or a Merlot. It doesn't. It has its own characteristics, but it does give you some very nice complexities of itself, within itself. The styles of Pinot Noir, again, you can have yourself just as many styles as are in the other two I just talked about, the reds. A very fruit-forward Pinot Noir, lighter style, easy drinking, great characteristics of the Pinot Noir grape. You can get a more of an intense one with their tannins being a little bit more detectable, giving you more depth. And then the full-bodied ones with the tannins that are very strong that will cause the wine to age for years and give you lots of complexity and lots of mouthfeel and a depth in the wine. Pinot Noirs can just be a wonderful grape. The Pinot Noir, though, I can't speak of a Pinot Noir without mentioning how difficult it is to grow. It is a legendary for its difficulty in growing the grape and getting it to the bottle. Very thin skin grape, and that in itself tends to cause bruising and problems. It ripens late. Again, you get into areas that are susceptible to early winters and early frost or early problems, and you can lose a lot of your grapes that way or not going to fully ripen. It is prone to rot. It is easy damaged by handling it in the vineyard and in the winery. So as they're being picked and as they're being transported to the vineyard, they are picked by hand. The machine picking on Pinot Noirs damage them way too much. So the picking and transporting and getting them to the winery could cause problems with the Pinot Noir. The reasons that so many acreages is planted now and so many people use a Pinot Noir is because when it's good, it is very, very good. It is a good Pinot Noir. I had three or four good Pinot Noirs when I was in Paso Robles a couple years ago, and they were phenomenal. Little small winery, and I can't think of the name of it, had 8 acres of Pinot Noir planted, and that's all they made. That's all they did. Wow. And it was gorgeous. I mean, the guy, it was like his child. He just absolutely loved it. Ooh. And so the Pinot Noir tends to make just a memorable wine if you find good ones. So that's why it's being planted now, and that's why everybody is using it, and that's why it's so popular. And we'll stop tonight. We'll continue on with the reds next week, and we'll finish up the reds next week. So.
Okay. Now, because of its difficulty, does that make it more expensive? I mean, how much are we talking difference-wise?
A little bit more expensive, not tremendously. A little bit more expensive. The Pinot Noirs. You compare your high end Pinot Noirs with your high end Merlots, your high end Cabs, and stuff like that, and they're all going to be about the same. But your lower end Pinot Noirs tend to be a little bit more expensive. And I'm not, maybe a buck or two here or there for comparable ones. But in my opinion, it's worth it. Pinot Noirs are really very nice grapes and very nice wines.
Oh, okay.
If treated properly. Again, once you buy it too, treat it like a friend, and it will return the favor when you drink it.
Okay. Very cool. Okay, we have, about 6 minutes left and some events coming up at the winery. I've got a page down. I finally found my glasses, and so I was able to I can actually read my notes now, but I have come up with a manual.
That's the difference between drinking during the show and not drinking.
and I need to take up drinking again. So the next event at the winery you have is coming up, not this week, next week, I believe, August 22nd.
Class next.
Yes, a wine class from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. That's 3 hours, very enjoyable, very entertaining and educational. Brief history of the wines, the great varietals like we're listening to now. But it's better to go in person and check it out there at the winery. Diseases with the grapes, grape diseases, wine glasses, cork history. It's information on their website. You can get all the details there. And of course, a very good part of the process there is the sampling. And always look forward to sampling wine.
Always the best part.
Yeah. And that's all there. During the wine class, the next class is August 22nd. That's coming up next week from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time. And then the following week is the return of the wine festival and market. That would be August 29th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you get all the details there on the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com. Let's see, we were talking about some of the wines that you have here. I think you still have 10 wines, right? That's you.
Nine. We're out of the Carmenere.
That's right. Oh yeah, you're okay. Wow.
Out of the Carmenere. That's no longer part of our tasting. We ran out a couple of weeks ago. So.
Wow. Okay. So.
No Carmenere. That's sad to say because it was a great wine.
And that's the end of it, right?
That's the end of it.
Wow. Okay. And you had? Do you still have limited cases of the Merlot? I mean, last I wrote down there was like 20, but that was a long time ago.
We're down to 14 cases.
Okay, so that's getting out of there. Wow.
That's starting to move now, too.
That says it's a 2003 Special Reserve, so you have that. If you want some really great flavors, and I think you talked about, or someone on your Facebook page said that their favorite is, one of the favorites is the Key Lime Cap del Sol, and that's I have to.
They were cooking with it. One of the people on the Facebook page was cooking with it. And we do have Facebook. Let me cover that quickly here.
Yes.
Anyone wants to join us? Facebook, Florida States Winery Facebook. We run specials there and all that. Love to hear comments from you on Facebook, too, if you want to give any comments or anything. But the person on Facebook was talking about the Key Lime. And she said, I need to come get more. She said, when I cook with it, I use it up a lot faster than when I can drink it.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, it's some great feedback on there, and it's great to get the updates and when you're mowing the lawn and everything. That's pretty cool. Yeah, we check that out. And anyway, the
somebody actually reads it. Thanks.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of readers out there. Definitely. So check it out. Go to their website at FloridaEstatesWines.com. And all the details, let's see, they're 4 miles west of Interstate, make sure I got the right, 4 miles west of Interstate 75, exit 285 on State Road 52. And you go out there, check out the winery. It's, great. Okay.
One more thing, too.
Yes, please.
Month of August, all of you teachers out there that are listening, we are giving a 10% discount on any wine purchase to all teachers.
Wow.
You guys are the ones that taught us how to talk good.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and we'll be back. We'll be back next week at 7. Yeah, that was a good deal, and I think you posted that. You did post that on your Facebook.
Posted on Facebook. Yeah.
Yes, and so that's a great thing for the month of August. Teachers, check that out definitely at Florida State's Winery. Telephone numbers. That's coming up on the little outro segment. Email address is corp@flewn.com. corp@flewn. There's that little timer thing. They don't hear that part, but we hear it.
No, they don't. We just hear it, but they don't.
All right. We'll see you all next Thursday. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening live. We'd like to have you all call in. So next week, share some questions and call us, and we'd love to hear from you. Get your comments and email, everything. Send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you, Ron. And we'll.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, audience. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And we'll be back next Thursday, 7 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's all about wine. I hear you. 60 seconds here. I got to play it.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com. Or call area code 813-996-4444. 2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Email address is